continued interest in your prayers. If you'd like to turn where we'll be taking our text from, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Perhaps a lot of the events of the day cause us to think about the things that we'll be talking about today. We're living in troubled times. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous times. I think we're there. Because if you continue reading in that third chapter of 2 Timothy, you'll find so many of the ways, the things that he mentions of how people will be in general, you find that we're there. Lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God is one of the things that he mentions in that chapter. Don't we see a lot of that in our world today? All right. Now, what I want to emphasize about it is this. We see it. Okay. We see a manifestation. We see character. We see actions where so many are manifesting the fact that they love themselves more than they love God. So my question then is, what about us? When someone looks at our life, if someone could rehearse or review your life for the last week, what would they conclude? Do you love yourself more than you love God? Or is there enough evidence to show that you love God more than yourself? Think about it. There is such a need in the church today for God's people to clearly manifest they love God more than they love themselves. And it's not like he's just written some commandment and sent it by some prophet to tell us that's what we ought to do. Bless your hearts, in the day in which we live, he has demonstrated his great love to us by sending his son to this world to save us from our sins when we were yet sinners. He didn't wait for us or tell us to clean up our act and maybe I'll do something for you. He did it while we were yet sinners. And bless your hearts, even today we are yet sinners. We're in need of the grace and mercy and help of our God. So how do we reward him in our day-to-day lives? We all have stay busy. I don't know anybody that doesn't have enough to do. Do you? There's more than enough for us to occupy our time. But where does God fit into the mix? Where is he on our schedule? Where is he in our agenda? Where is he in the words of our mouth? Where is he in the works of our hands? Where is he in the footsteps that we make? Is he worthy of it? Thank you. Thank you, because it was getting mighty quiet in here. He's worthy. Because of what he's done for us. Not only what he has done, you know, and he didn't start 2,000 years ago, did he? Now, I don't know, we're not that old yet, but if we hang around, we'll get there. But he chose us. Think for a moment of the tremendous privilege that we have as a child of God. Think of the privileges that some people have in this world because of who they are. And now compare that, those fleeting things, those things that are not going to profit in the end, compare that to being a child of the King. Could you have a better shepherd? Could you have a better Lord? Could anyone in this world pick blessings that would be better suited to you than God can? Is anyone in this world able to come through with those good intentions and provide for you better than God can? Then there's every reason in the world for us to be faithful to God and serve Him and do whatever we can to bring glory and honor to His matchless name, right? Amen. Anything other than that, we're loving ourselves more than loving God. Maybe I should have taken that as my text this morning. All right, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, down in verse 8, Paul has said, wrote to Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." Be not ashamed. Now, Paul's writing to another preacher. That other preacher happened to be younger in the faith. That other preacher happened to be younger in years, no doubt called of God, and beginning to minister faithfully to the Lord. But the Apostle Paul was burdened by the Spirit to write unto him to encourage him. No doubt there were things that discouraged him. And whenever I get around other ministers today, there's still plenty of things to discourage the ministry in the day in which we live. There's some awful good things. And so as we think about Paul encouraging Timothy, listen, don't get down in discouragement. What happens when we get discouraged? What happens when we get down and don't think that there's any use? We're tempted to give up, aren't we? We're tempted to do less. We're tempted to go another direction. Listen, as we think about the Lord and His goodness, there's nothing wrong with the Lord. There's nothing wrong with what He's done for us. There's nothing wrong with what He's provided for us. Any shortcoming is on our part, isn't it? And so He's faithful to us. He's merciful to us. He will give us those things which we stand in need of. But there's times when He waits for us to ask. Have you ever been that way with your children or somebody that you loved? You'd want to do all that you could for them. But there comes a time when you just kind of wait to see if they'll ask. If we're to follow the example that Jesus gave us, you know, when He came to this earth for His ministry, He was the meek and lowly one. He was submissive to His parents, giving a good example to the children. He was meek and lowly as He went about doing the Father's will. But listen, He always did the Father's will. No matter what He faced, no matter what the circumstances, no matter who was in front of Him, He always did the Father's will. And He gave us an example of being meek and lowly as we live in this life. Now, I'll have to admit, there's a lot of times in this world today, even among God's people, where I see that meek and lowly stuff has been set aside. That is still the example for a Christian in this world. Now, we can be bold. We can be bold in the faith. We can be bold in defense of the truth. But in dealings with one another and in trying to be a helper of God's people, we need to be meek and lowly, considering ourselves, lest we also should be tempted. And that's what Paul said to the Galatian brethren in chapter 6. For someone that's overtaken in a fault, if you're going to go to them, then you need to consider yourself. All right, so that meek and lowly disposition is following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, He did that. He gave us that example. That example is there for us today. But He Himself went on to Calvary. And He suffered tremendously at the hands of men. And He died for our sins. And they put Him in that tomb and they sealed it and made it as sure as they could. And 3 days later, He came out of that tomb. He arose victorious over death, hell and the grave to show us that everything that he told us and everything that he promised us was still sure and steadfast, because it was the truth when he spoke it and he bore witness of it when he came forth from the dead. Amen. And he's no longer the meek and lowly lamb. He's our risen Savior, and he's our soon returning King, and he's King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. And he's able to take care of anything, any need we have here in this life. And so when we keep that in memory, then it's easy for us to remember that we're not ashamed. We're not to be ashamed of our Lord and his testimony. What is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the gospel. It's the fact that he came into this world and suffered and died for the sins of a people that were given to him before the foundation of the world. He arose again to show that he has power over death. He's the one and only Savior. He's the only one that's worthy of our trust while we live here in this life. Bless your hearts, we're not to be ashamed of. Can you think of any reason why we should be ashamed of Jesus? Oh, what a pathetic question. There's no reason. But in fact and in reality, there are times when even God's people become ashamed to own him before others. How could that be? If it happens, it's because we're not thinking right. If you're one of God's children, if you've been blessed to understand the truth, if you've been understanding and blessed to know that you have been saved from your sins by the Lord Jesus Christ, then something's wrong with our thinking. If we're ever ashamed of the testimony of Jesus and to own his cause before men, I don't care who it is. I don't care how much power. I don't care how much prestige. I don't care how popular they might be. There's never a reason to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He, as the book of Revelation tells us, he is the faithful witness from the dead. If you want a good and faithful testimony, you want a faithful witness, don't you? Well, he is the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead. So Paul told Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." You know, the emphasis there is on not being ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And then also he brought himself in there. Paul suffered tremendously for being faithful to the testimony of Jesus Christ, didn't he? And so Paul's admonishing Timothy not to be ashamed of the Lord, and nor of, Paul says, me his prisoner. But be thou partaker. Not just a believer. You could be a believer and just sit there on the pew and never do anything. Not just a believer. Okay? Now, it's by the grace of God that we're able to believe. It's by the grace of God that we're able to see these things. Right? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. His people, by the way. Okay? But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What a privilege. What a blessing that God has given us. The blessing of knowing him and knowing what he has done for us. I tell you, we can sing all day long about that. We can praise and adore his matchless name all the rest of our days because of that. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his servants. We'll put it that way. All right? But be a partaker. Like I said, our schedules are usually full. We don't have any problem adding to the things that we can find to do throughout the day. But I'm going to tell you, if we're going to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, we need to pause and think about that for a little bit. Paul said to Timothy later on in this second epistle, he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what?
Persecution.
it's going to mean persecution if we are faithful to God. And you know, sometimes that persecution can come from the strangest places. Folks you wouldn't even expect. You're going to do that? You're going to go to church on Saturday? You drive how far? There's no reason for that. Or is there? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Perhaps we need to lay to heart, what is our definition of living godly in Christ Jesus? Maybe we've cut ourselves too much slack. Maybe we're comparing ourselves among ourselves instead of comparing ourselves to the perfect example. How is it with us? Are we ashamed of the Lord? Oh no, I'd never be ashamed. Are we a partaker? Well, yeah. How? You can answer that for yourself. How is it that your week shows that you are a partaker of the afflictions of the God? Well, preacher, this was written to a preacher. It wasn't written to church members. Oh, yes, it was. Everything that Paul wrote to Timothy were things that he needed to share with the congregation. There are things that preachers are called to do that the congregation may not have to participate in that much. But bless your hearts, if it's a godly work, if it's good works, we all need to be involved in those things. We need to be doing as much of it we can to give glory to our God because he's worthy of it. So we need to think about the life that we're living. We need to think about the activities that we're participating in. We need to think about just how much is it that we're doing that would honor the Lord and show that we're a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Because bless your hearts, if you're living according to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about just him dying and going to the cross. I'm talking about that also involves that we're to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. That's what Jesus taught us to do, isn't it? Denying ourselves. How much have you, think about it, I'm not asking you for an answer, but think about it. How much have you denied, really and truly, have you denied yourself this week in service to God? See, a sacrifice involves giving up something. We're to be a living sacrifice, aren't we? And you know, that expression that illustration we gave you some time ago that I heard from others, that I've read from others, has been around a long time. But the problem with a living sacrifice is we keep crawling off the altar. Instead of committing ourselves to the service of God, well, we're going to check out for a little while and take care of number one. It happens, doesn't it? If we're focused on how good God is, if we're focused on how short we come, if we're focused on how worthy he is that we should follow his way and do things in the way he has told us so that we can be pleasing unto him, then we'll find more joy and peace in our own lives. Being a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Now in that day, as Paul and Timothy went about preaching, they met with a lot of resistance. They met with open resistance from the Jews, the very people that you would expect would be the most capable and in a position to receive the gospel and see the glory of it. But oftentimes they were the ones that were persecuting the Christians the most. Well, that's not exactly what we're facing today, but we have some opposition. As a matter of fact, we have some growing opposition to Christianity, and it's coming from the highest levels of our government. Do you think it's going to get any better? I don't get too much on that. But we need to be real. We need to be aware of what's going on in our world. Because if we're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to meet with resistance from those very sources. Now, God's able to take care of us. God is able to deliver us. God is able to provide for us. But it may mean we'll have to get more effectual and fervent in our praying. You think? How's our praying? You know, think about it. How's our praying been? Now, I tell you, when trouble comes, it's a whole lot easier to pray, isn't it? When heartaches come, it's a whole lot easier to pray. But when things are going well, the Bible tells us you need to be careful or you'll forget the Lord. It happens. And it happens a lot. And it's happening a lot today. And so we need to be careful. We need to be mindful of just how is it that we're living godly in Christ Jesus. Does our definition of that fit God's definition of that? Or is there a lot of gray area? With God, God is yea and yea and nay and nay. It's not sometimes yea and sometimes nay. It's the same. What he said was an abomination to him from the beginning is an abomination to him today. He is not going to change his mind based on popular opinion. I don't care what this culture accepts, God doesn't accept it. All right? So when we think about, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. Oh, preacher, I didn't come here to hear about suffering. Oh, I like to think about Jesus suffering for me, but don't ask me to suffer for him. I've never heard anybody say that, but I've sure seen a lot of evidence to that. Brethren, the burden of my heart today is we need to think about how wonderful God has been to us. God's been wonderful to this nation. And to us individually, he's been wonderful. And he is wonderful. And he will be wonderful. But how have we been to him? Would you rate yourself as having been wonderful toward God this week? I know that's thinking too highly of yourself, but, you know, in context of what we're talking about here, how would it be? Be a partaker. Paul admonished him. Timothy understood the doctrine. Timothy understood the gospel. Timothy understood the truth. And so do we. And still, there was this need to exhort him to be a partaker, even when it means suffering. Has any of us suffered for the truth's sake? Think about it. Maybe you have. Maybe you've been faithful to the truth. Maybe it's caused some hurt feelings. I've had to be that way with some of my family. Nope, this way it's going to be. So they went off and did something else. How is it? Are we willing to be a partaker if it calls suffering in our life? Did the Apostle Paul suffer for righteousness? Oh, he did. He did a lot. I'm not preaching Paul. I'm just saying he loved the Lord so much he gave us a wonderful example. Did Joseph in the Old Testament Did he suffer for righteousness' sake? Oh, he did. He did. They lied about him, put him in prison, forgot him. But the Lord was with him. And he remained faithful. Don't you love that example? How about Daniel? A teenager carried away captive into a foreign land, made to serve in the heathen king's courts. But he purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He purposed in his heart he was going to be faithful to God. And you know, if you want a good example to read about, go read and notice the life of Daniel. I'm not preaching Daniel. I'm preaching the God that Daniel was faithful to. He gave us a wonderful example of being faithful, of not being ashamed of what he believed, not being ashamed of what he knew to be the truth, not being ashamed of his God, but being faithful to him. And I can't think of a person in all of Scripture that was blessed more abundantly and served more faithfully at such a high level of government for so many years under so many kings. I tell you, it just makes my heart rejoice when I think of all that Daniel was able to do. You know, in those days, the kings didn't always pay a whole lot of attention to governing. They did what they wanted to, and they had the power. But Daniel was in a place of great authority. And I'm telling you something. This world enjoyed great grace because of the governing of Daniel for so many years. Just like under the hands of Joseph in Egypt. There was much grace shown to the people because of what they did. Let's be praying that God would raise up some Daniels. Let's be praying that God would raise up some Josephs that are willing to be faithful to God, even if it causes persecution, even if it means suffering. And while we're praying that God would raise up some of those, let's be one of those. You know how to do it. You got the Word of God. You know the Word of God. There's a lot of good students of the Word of God here today. Can't we be like Daniel? Can't we be like Joseph? I believe we can. If you say we can't, then that's bordering along absolutism. That God did it for them. He did it through them. But they were willing servants. They put God's will and God's way above their own desires. Now you can safely say that. Because they were willing to suffer for righteousness. And there came a time when Moses was willing to suffer with the people of God rather than join the pleasures of sin for a season. And so you can put Moses in that category, can't you? You know, a good study sometime in the life of Moses, he lived to be how old? 120. And you can divide it very, very nicely into three different sections. That first 40 years, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. And he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Remember that? So that first 40 years, Moses learned that he was something. The next 40 years, he had to flee from Egypt and he was a shepherd on the backside of the desert. And there's a lot to indicate the fact that for that next 40 years, Moses learned he was nothing. Have you gotten there yet? But in that last 40 years, as he led the people of God, as a faithful servant in all his house, he learned that God is everything. And when we can come to that place in our lives, we won't be ashamed of our Lord. We won't be ashamed of his testimony. We won't be ashamed of his servants. We won't be ashamed of his people. But we'll be willing and glad to suffer for righteousness' sake. Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. When you live closer and closer to the Word of God, you're going to find more and more resistance in this world. That's what this is saying. That's what Paul was saying in Timothy. He said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not too many people are willing to sign up for persecution. But if you're going to be faithful to God, it's going to be part of it. Not all of it. Because God is good and merciful. And you can look through the experience of the Apostle Paul, and you can see Paul came to the place where he realized that when he was suffering tremendously for righteousness' sake, when he was suffering because he was being faithful to God, the power of Christ rested upon him. And that's why he would say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. When we're not depending upon our own intellect and our own strength, we're wholly depending upon God to deliver us in whatever the situation might be. Then we can feel the power of Christ resting upon us. Then we can feel that we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Because that's the strength we need anyway. Even when times are good, that's the strength we need for our day. Even when we realize that the things are going well and there doesn't seem to be any particular problem in our lives right then, we still need God for every step of the way. It's the best source. It's the primary source for peace and joy in this life. Be a partaker. If you don't get anything else from this message today, go home and think about how you can be more of a partaker in Christ and willing to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Those afflictions that would come upon you for being faithful to the Word of God. That'd be a good exercise. You love homework, don't you? I knew that. But that would be a good exercise. I mean, I hope that when you come here and hear this message, you've got something you can take home with you and work on for the week. We've all got room for improvement. Okay? Me especially. So when we think about willing to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. That's not where it stops. It says according to the power of God. The only way that we can be confident in facing those afflictions is that we know if we're being faithful to God, we have God's help. We have His blessing. He will help us to be faithful to Him. Right? All right? You know, in the Old Testament, He's spoken of as our rear reward. I still haven't gotten a comfortable pronouncing that word, rear word. But that means He'll come along behind us and take care of the consequences. The army was to move forward and to advance and to engage the enemy and do what the Lord said. They wouldn't have to worry about their back. God will take care of that. If you're doing, you know, look at the armor of God, right? It's all for the front. We're to be facing the battle. We're to be engaged in the battle. We're to be trusting God. He takes care of the backside. There's no armor of God that covers your back. Because God's there. That's is better than armor, isn't it? In fact, he is all of that armor. Okay? So when we think about a willingness to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, not just the ministry, but everyone in the pew as well. Being a partaker, not just an observer, not just a bystander, not just a spectator, a partaker of the afflictions, because we have help from the Lord. I tell you, you read sometimes about the afflictions that the Apostle Paul went through, the shipwrecks, the beatings, and all those kinds of things. There were times that he speaks of in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, was times that he even despaired of life. He thought he was a goner in being faithful to God. But the Lord delivered him. I believe he'll do the same for you. I believe he'll do the same for me. As a matter of fact, the apostles, when they began to be preaching the gospel after Jesus ascended back into heaven, there were times when they were brought before the council, they were beaten, and they went away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer affliction for his namesake. Whatever it comes in our life, if we have to suffer affliction for being faithful to Christ, he'll take care of that. He'll help you. He'll be there for you. But you don't have that help when you turn away and go the way of the world. You don't have that confidence. You don't have that assurance from the Lord. Some folks seem to have the idea that he's kind of like a bellhop and he's right there whenever you got trouble, but any other time, just leave me alone. Maybe some people think of him like a spare tire. Whenever your problems come, then you can get him out and he'll take care of the problem. That's not the way it is it? He's God. He knows all. He sees all. He knows even the very intents of the heart. You don't have to say a word. Now, we do pray. And we try to form the best words we can in our prayers, but you're not acquainting God with anything. He sees, he knows, and he sees through the facade. But he's called upon us to be faithful to him. Every reason in the world for us to be faithful to him. And so it's a matter of choices, isn't it? What will we do with our time? Where will we spend our affections? Where will we spend our resources? Where will we spend our attitude, our activities, our words, our thoughts? The chiefest affections of our heart. I've said it many times, I'll say it again. When you love God best, then you're in a better position to love others. If God's not first, it's going to be trouble. Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Give God something to bless. Give him something that he's pleased with, that honors him, and that he would be pleased to bless. Maybe we're not doing anything that honors and glorifies him. Maybe we're not feeling like we're being blessed in that arena because maybe we're not giving him something that he's pleased with. But to whatever degree we sincerely try to do something for the Lord, he will bless that. He will. He's faithful in that regard. Give him something to bless. Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. In other words, in his good pleasure. Those things that are pleasing to him that he will bless. Those things that are pleasing to him that he will support us, that he will cover our back, that he will take care of the consequences, that he will give the help that we need to stand strong, to be firm, and faithful to him. According to the power of God. And then he gives us that wonderful next verse that describes our security, our salvation, and how it is by the grace of God. It says, according to the power of God, who has saved us. Now, there is some saving that he does every day, isn't there? Saving us from ignorance, saving us from bad choices, saving us from doing things that dishonors his name and that causes trouble in our life. His wisdom and his guidance saves us daily. But we're talking about eternal salvation. We're talking about salvation from hell. We're talking about being saved from the lake of fire. Jesus did that for his people. And anybody, you know, some people object to that doctrine of election, that God had a people that Jesus saved and nobody else. But listen, anybody that sincerely has realized that they're a sinner in the sight of a holy and righteous God and desires to be delivered from their sins, they are one of his. You will not have that desire unless you're his child, born again of his spirit. And so anyone who sincerely desires salvation, they're already saved. It's just a matter then to acknowledge what God's done for us and live in a way that would be becoming to what we feel like that God's done for us. And so he says, who has saved us. Jesus did that on the cross. 2,000 years ago, he died and shed his precious blood to redeem us from all of our sins. And oh, it just tugs at my heart so many times when I hear folks that have committed suicide and so many people will go to them and maybe they mean well, but they bring up the fact that, you know, that's the unpardonable sin and that God can't forgive that. That is not in the Bible. When Jesus died for our sins, he died for all of our sins. No matter how confused or how mentally disturbed somebody may get, if Jesus died for them, they are safe in the blood of Jesus forever. He doesn't start loving and quit. Now, he may give you a whooping if you turn away from him, but that's still in love. Romans chapter 8 ends by saying, Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Nothing. And you can't do it yourself. He's the creator. You're the creature. He said, nor any other creature. You can't even separate yourself from God eternally. You can in fellowship with him each day. But not eternally. He saved us. That was God's purpose from the foundation of the world. To save his people from their sins. And he did it by sending his son to this world. Suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. Raised him again for our justification. Who has saved us and called us. I'm quoting verse 9 here. Called us. Have you felt his calling? Have you heard that life-giving voice? The Son of God. He speaks about in John 5:25. Have you heard that life-giving voice that when the Spirit enters into us, we're convicted of our sins? We have the witness of God within us that when we do wrong, it convinces and convicts us? Have you felt that? That comes from the Spirit of God. That's not some decision. That's not some education you received by man. That's not some decision you made. That came from the Spirit of God abiding in you. Who saved us and called us. What did he call us from? He called us away from that life that we lived where we didn't know God and didn't have any love for him. He's called us away from those activities that were ungodly and untoward. He's called us away from those things that interferes with our fellowship and communion with him. And he's called us into his service. Take up our cross. To deny ourselves. Take up our cross and follow him. That's what he tells us to do. That's what he's called us to do. To show forth the praises of him that's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He saved us and called us with a holy calling. not according to our works. Salvation is by grace. If you're a Bible student, you understand that. From the book of Ephesians, from the book of Romans, from other places, you find salvation is by the grace of God, which is unmerited favor bestowed upon undeserving individuals. And if you listen much to Elder Sonny Pyle's preaching, his definition is unmerited favor bestowed upon hell-deserving individuals. That's really what it is. That Texas brash comes through in that kind of a statement, but nevertheless, he saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. And listen, there are so many in the world today that put conditions on your salvation. Say, you got to do this, or you got to do that, or you got to follow this recipe, or you. What if it's a work that they require of you in order for you to be saved, that's of works. But salvation's by grace. Even believing is a work. Somebody says, just all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is just receive. All you got to do is accept. That's a work. If that's standing between you and eternal salvation, that would be by works. But it's not by works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2. All right? So he says he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Jesus wasn't a second thought. Jesus wasn't a plan B. Jesus is the purpose of God according to salvation. It's what God intended from the very beginning, to save us from our sins. And he sent himself, his son. He sent the word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, he sent Jesus to do that because man couldn't do it. Saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us. He didn't give it to you in response to something you did. It was in place before the world began. There's plenty of scriptures. Plenty of scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, plenty of scripture. Romans chapter 8, plenty of scriptures that point out what God's purpose was and how Jesus accomplished it and how we're safe in the blood of Christ. And we're looking forward to the time when time shall be no more and Jesus comes again to raise these bodies from the grave, and those of us that are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That was God's purpose from the beginning, to have his people with him, his whole family together with him in heaven forever. Never have to worry about the pain, the sorrows, the heartaches, and the disappointments of this life ever again. No tears in heaven, is there? All will be joy and happiness. We've never known that this side of glory. But it's what God has prepared for us. And so since he loves us that much, and since he's prepared that for us, why don't we now be busy in being a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel to bring glory and honor to his matchless name? Show the world whose child we are. Don't leave them guessing. One day you look like a child of the devil, one day you look like a child of God. Don't leave them guessing. Be faithful and honor the Lord every day and thankful for all the blessings that he's given to us. You'll never thank him too much. You'll never praise him too much. But go ahead and try. You'll be blessed. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. May God walk in the blessings of his Spirit every day and honor him. Let our light shine. Be salt in this earth. Be faithful to God. He'll take care of the consequences. He'll bless us with what we need to be faithful to him. May God bless you, is our prayer.